Welcome to Module 13, an overview of the racing industry's regulatory structure. The regulatory structure for racing is certainly very extensive, and it is very, very highly regulated, the entire industry is, due to the fact that gambling is permitted on the events. If there was no gambling, the regulation of racing would be much, much less. So racing is a very regulated industry. State legislatures create statutes that define the goals and limits of the regulation. And so the state racing commissions are created by that statute. The racing commission is different in each state. There are no federal guidelines, no federal oversight. It's definitely a state's rights issue to allow or disallow gambling on whatever they deem fit, and if they allow it, that the individual state oversees the rules and regulations. The Racing Commission is the entity that does so. Racing commissions are administrative law agencies. They make rules, they enforce rules, and they adjudicate rule violations. In other words, they can give penalties. Racing commissions do embody the three functions of government. If you remember your civics way back when, it's the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. Again, legislative make rules, executive enforce rules, judicial adjudicate rule violations. There is a number of different agencies that become involved. Certainly, there's the Administrative Procedures Act. Everybody must have due process. Although racing is able to regulate itself to a much higher degree than many other industries, there is still the issue of due process, and no one, for any reason, can be deprived of their due process rights. Now, the basic tool used by these agencies to establish control is licensing. Everyone involved with racing must be licensed, from the person who trains your horse to the person who sells you feed to, more often than not, the person who pours your beer out of the tap when you're in the turf club. First of all, the racetrack itself must be licensed, the corporate licensing. This is to ensure that the people who are running the racing organization are of highest quality, moral standards, and that they are truly fit to run an operation that deals with gaming. The issue here is integrity and protecting the public. When you think about regulation in racing and you ask the question, does this ensure integrity and does this rule or regulation protect the public, more often than not, the answer is yes. Of course, it's very important to protect the participants and the animals, but so often we forget that in every race that's being run, someone's money is bet on that race, and if the public doesn't see it as fair, the public won't come, they won't bet, there will be no handle, there will be no racing. So at the track level, anyone who owns and or operates a racetrack must go through a very, very rigorous, thorough background check. Everyone employed at the racetrack, no matter what, has to be licensed, and there's also a background check done on them. Even if you own a racing animal, there are rules and regulations within each state that have prohibitions. If you've been convicted of a felony within X number of years, you will not be able to participate in racing. The racing organization does do fingerprints and keeps records on file. Why is there so much licensing? Well, it's there to keep the integrity and the professional standards high. There are many times when you must take an examination prior to being licensed. For example, a trainer, a groom, a hot walkers, generally not. I would imagine that probably the most obvious would be a trainer. Prior to the state giving a trainer a license and saying, yes, you're fit to train racehorses, they do require a written and, more often than not, an oral examination of that person. Also, discipline and penalties. There are so many rules and regulations that must be followed to see that racing is carried out in a professional manner with the highest integrity, that there are rules and regulations that apply just to racing, that don't apply to the outside world. For example, to ensure that horses run without illegal medications, only racetrack veterinarians may have needles and syringes at the racetrack. It's been a rule for a long time. It makes sense. Racetrack veterinarians are required to keep a log whenever a horse is medicated. Now, if you have show horses or horses in the backyard, you know that you can go to the local tack and feed store and you can buy needles and syringes and antibiotics and other equine drugs. It is perfectly legal for you to have the needle, have the syringe, and have that drug in your possession to medicate your own horses. But it is not legal for you to have that at the racetrack. Again, it's for the public's insurance that there is a high level of integrity and people aren't walking around willy-nilly being able to medicate or treat their horses at any time. So, for that reason, there are licenses. So, if a licensee breaks a racing rule, may not necessarily be a rule that's out there in the general public, if they break a racing rule, they may be punished. And because you have a license, you must have a license to participate. If that license is withdrawn, you cannot participate. That certainly is a detriment to illegal behavior. If you are a licensee and you have gone through the legal process, remember, your due process rights can never be violated. You've been accused of breaking a rule of racing. You have had the opportunity to be heard. In fact, the stewards, who are the representatives of the Racing Commission, they are the embodiment of the state, they will hold hearings. They aren't quite as formal as official trials, but they go through the same process of making sure that all of the information, any accusations against a person are made in public. Each side has the opportunity to be heard and to hear what they are being charged with or what rule violation they allegedly did. And after you go through that whole process, if the stewards when they are at the racetrack, they are the judges, if they believe that you indeed have violated one of the racing rules, they can penalize you with just a warning, with a penalty of a fine, where the fine may be from $50 to thousands of dollars, to the revocation or suspension of your license. It would certainly take a very large and a very egregious act for a lifelong suspension of your license, but there are times, and even jockeys, if they make errors or errors of judgment or ride recklessly at the racetrack, they may have a 3, 5, or 7 day suspension where they are not able to work. They are not able to ride the races. They broke the rule. There is a penalty attached. Control of the product. Licensing comes into play there. Racetracks must ask the state when they can open their doors. When I talked about racing being highly regulated, they actually have to apply for racing dates. So if you own a racetrack and you want to race year-round, you must first ask the state if that's all right, and they will have a hearing for race dates. If you want to race only in the summer months, again, you apply for race dates. If another racetrack in your state wants to race at the same time, the Racing Commission may actually grant racing days to one track and tell the other track that they are not legally able to open, and they will not be able to present live racing except for the dates that have been decided by the Racing Commission. I gave an example earlier that there are some racing commissions that are much more strict in the decisions that they make, and other states whose racing commissions are more of the feeling that we'll take care of the regulatory part, you take care of your business. We're not going to tell you how much you should sell your hot dogs and hamburgers and Cokes for. Let us take care of the legal part. That's not every state, though. There are some states that any change in pricing, any change in the way the operation does business must come in front of the Racing Commission. And last but not least, licensing does give the state a small source of revenue besides the tax on betting and the handle. Please look at the regulatory organizations that I have as your website. You will see the TRPB and what they do. You will also go to the NAPRA and the RCI websites. These are organizations, both are umbrella organizations that individual state racing commissions belong to. So to save you from going to tens or 20 or 30 different racing commission sites, although you're always welcome to do so, if you go to the NAPRA site and the RCI site, you'll get a good feel for what is involved in racing regulations.